All right, here we are. Carol and I, of course, have been reading through the Bible in a year. We've been reading the book of Exodus this last week. And I came across this passage again, and it just like it lit up. It jumped in my heart, and I hope it jumps in yours. But it's from Exodus chapter 19, and we're going to start there and use that as sort of our backdrop for what we're going to talk about. But I want you to consider this phrase, a kingdom of priests. Kingdom of priests. Many times we'll like hear a phrase, or you'll read through a page in the Bible, you hear a phrase like that, and we just kind of read through it and assume that we understand what it's talking about. We assume, you know, that kingdom of priests. I mean, you know, yeah, we're going to be a kingdom of priests. But I just want you to pause for a moment, go slow on it, and think about it. Kingdom. A kingdom of priests. And that's our topic for today, and that's going to sort of launch us here on thinking about the idea of being a kingdom of priests. This comes from the passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 19. Now, you've got to understand the miracle of the Old Testament. The miracle is that, you know, God tells the story. He tells us the story of a nation of people. You know, I've been teaching Genesis on Tuesday afternoons. And we've been talking about the one family that God introduces us to, the family of Abraham. Abraham and Isaac, and then Jacob, and then there's the 12 brothers, which form the clans or the tribes of the nation of Israel. This becomes the family that's God's focus in our world, that nation of Israel. And they end up, before the book of Genesis is over with, they move to Egypt. They're brought there to Egypt, and when they get there in Egypt, there's about 70 people in this large family. And they live there in Egypt. They live there for 400 years, 430 years to be exactly, according to the scripture. And during that time period, of course, they grew into a huge nation. But they were enslaved by the Egyptians and became a nation of slaves. Now you've got to pause for a moment and think, really, what does that do to a people? In our nation, we knew, if we were, you know, maybe 100 years. I don't think it was even 100 years of slavery in our nation. But it made a huge impact in the identity of who we were and the identity of a people that were in the midst of that. And even though, you know, we don't have slavery anymore, that identity still clings to many of those people. They still carry that identity. Maybe they don't think of themselves as slaves, but it's just the washover from all of that has continued to carry on in terms of their identity. But think of 400 years of slavery. 400 years of being a people that all you've known was slavery. And that's all your fathers knew. And that's all your father's fathers knew. And that's all your father's 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 fathers knew. It's all they knew. And then God shows up, speaks to a man by the name of Moses, and brings this miraculous deliverance, a nation out of a nation of slaves. He brings them out into the wilderness to teach them who He is, to teach them how to worship. Now, if you've ever read the book of Exodus, you know, it becomes a little puzzling in that interaction between Moses and Pharaoh, because Moses says, "Let my people go. We want to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and worship Him." And it sounds like what he's asking them for is just kind of a temporary vacation for these guys, you know. But really what it comes down to, he's delivering them. But the words are true. The first thing that God wanted to do was teach them who He was and how to worship Him. So he brought them to Mount Sinai. Series of adventures brings this nation of slaves 600,000 now, men, plus women and children, and a whole lot of other stragglers that followed them from Egypt. And here they are around this Mount Sinai, and they're gathered there, and Moses gathers them at the mountain, and he says, I'm going up to talk to God, and I'll be back. And so he goes up, and he meets with God, and God tells him, when you go down, you're going to tell these people the words that I speak to you. So Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, it says that Moses came down and says these words to the people. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, God did to the Egyptians. You know I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure. You will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on the earth. For all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests. My kingdom of priests. My holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel. It's interesting that Tony brought the ram's horn today and blew that, because then Moses comes down and speaks to the people, says, this is what I'm going to introduce you. I'm going to introduce to you what God has called us out here for. They had no idea. Are we going to be slaves for the rest of our lives? What is our journey? And God brings him there to the foot of this mountain and says, I have a very special place for you in this world. I've delivered you from slavery, and I've brought you here to teach you about myself and to teach you about yourselves. And I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. My own special treasure. Now in the old King James Bible, they would translate that Hebrew word. It's a unique word. And they would translate that word peculiar people. And the early Pentecostals, they loved that. Because then they would say, you know, we're being what God told us to be. We're being a peculiar people, you know. And they kind of stuck their heads in there and said, we're peculiar, you know. But peculiar means in our culture, usually kind of weird, right? And so early Pentecostals, I mean, they kind of wore that badge, you see. And it was like, that's our identity. We're peculiar. But that's not exactly what God intended by that word. What God intended by that word is that you, out of all the nations of the world, are going to be my special treasure. My special treasure. And you're going to be a kingdom. Now again, a kingdom is a nation that is ruled by a king. But they're not just going to be a kingdom, they're going to be a kingdom of priests. Everybody say the word priests. Please. Kingdom of priests. You're going to be to me a kingdom of priests. Now, I had the fortune of growing up in the Catholic Church, one of the few churches that has preserved sort of the identity of the priesthood and what it means to be a priest. And they not only taught me what a priest is by in school with words, and you know, you read about priests, but they also taught me through symbolic action. So in the Catholic Church, then when you would go to Mass, you would go to Mass and you'd sit there and you'd walk in the church service and everybody would get there and they'd all be on time, you know, not like this church. They'd all be on time, you know, and they'd be sitting there kind of waiting in silence because it's all very solemn and that whole thing, you know. And you whisper to the person next to you if you want to talk, but it's not noisy at all, you know. And maybe a little organ music is playing, and all of a sudden time comes for the service to start. And out of the door on the side comes this procession. And if it was a high mass or a larger mass, they would have altar boys that would be there, and they'd ring this bell, ding, you know. And then out would come the priest, all dressed in his robes and his priestly garments that he'd put on. And he'd come out there, and I can't remember at this point if his first action was to turn. I don't think so. I think his first action was he would come up and he would go this way, and you would see his back. You know, and then he might turn around and welcome the people, but then he would turn back around, and the altar in those days, I grew up in the old Catholic Church where they still had Latin, you know, there's still a Latin thing. The altar in those days, it was pre-Vatican II, the altar was against the wall. It was against the wall. This church here was an old Lutheran church. When we first moved into it, they had taken the altar out, but there was an outline on that wall back there, by the way, of where the altar was. Lutherans, Episcopalians, all of these all came from the same roots, and I had a little different idea. But and there was an altar rail right about here, and there were some steps that you walked up, but then there was an altar rail with kneeler in front of it, and that's where the people could come up to that altar rail. They didn't go on the other side. The priest ministered on the other side. He'd go up there, and same old thing. You know, but I mean, when the priest was facing this way, what was he doing? He was what? Talking to God. He was representing all of those people that were in that church service. He was representing them to God, and he was talking with God on their behalf. On our behalf, that we're sitting out there. I mean, he's facing this way. You're looking at his back. Then he would turn around. And he'd come back and what was he doing when he turned around? He'd talk to you. Talk to the people. Right? And he was functioning as a priest. The old Latin word for priest is a bridge builder. It's bridge. You're building a bridge. A bridge between God and man, and a bridge between man and God. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is the great high priest? He's the one bridge that really, you know. But a priest is just that. A priest is someone who talks to God on behalf of the people and then turns around and talks to the people on behalf of God. In fact, in this very passage of Scripture, we have an example of that. God speaks to the nation of Israel and says, you're going to be unique. You are going to be unique out of all the nations on the earth. I have called you to be my special treasure. You are going to be a kingdom of priests. And then the Bible says this, then Moses returned from the mountain, called together the elders and told them everything the Lord had commanded. Everything I just told you. He now gathers the elders together and says, guess what, guys? I've got a glimpse into God's plan for us. We're not going to be a normal nation. We're going to be a kingdom of priests. That's God's plan for us. He delivered us out of slavery and is bringing us to the promised land, not just to give us this beautiful land. He is bringing us to be a kingdom of priests to this world. And so Moses tells the people this. It says this in verse 7. It says, Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people and told them everything the Lord commanded. He told them everything the Lord commanded. And all the people responded together. We'll do everything God commanded. That's what they said. And then it says this. So Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord. Now, right there, what Moses did was he was functioning as a priest, and he gave them the example of functioning as a priest. He came from God's presence and told them, thus saith the Lord, this is what God's plan is for us. And the people said, all that God's commanded, we will do. And Moses went back to the Lord, and he said, they will do what you say. And so there's this idea of priesthood, this picture of being a priest. But guess what? God said, I'm going to raise you up to be a whole nation of priests. A kingdom of priests. So, that's there. I forgot I had that up there. So Moses returned, and there's that back and forth gesture like that. It's another kind of an interesting thing, you know. So now God has brought these people out into the wilderness. He told them what he's going to do. And then the next day, he told Moses, have them present themselves before me. I'm going to speak to them myself. And so They gathered around the base of the mountain again. And this time the mountain looks like a volcano. I mean, it's like there's fire and there's smoke and there's all this stuff going on. And then, not only thunder and lightning, but then a ram's horn. I'm glad you brought that ram's horn today, because I mean, then a ram's horn goes up. But who's blowing it? They can't see. Angelic beings are blowing a ram's horn. Where they got the horn, what kind of heavenly ram's horn, I don't know. But it's like, and it said there, it said it got louder and louder and louder and louder. What an incredible scene to stand there and this ram's horn starts going off and it just gets louder and louder and louder and louder. And then it stops. And God speaks to the people himself. No mediator, no priest, no Moses. God speaks to them. I am the Lord your God. I am the one who delivered you out of Israel, out of Egypt. And I've called you to be my people. You shall have no other gods before me. And then he speaks to them the rules of the Ten Commandments. He begins to teach them what he's like and how to worship him. And then he begins to teach them also who they are. That kingdom of priests. And then the people, after that was all over with, they actually came to Moses. They said, we don't ever want to hear that again. They said, they were scared. They said, we don't ever want to hear that again. From now on, you go and you talk to God for us, and then you come and tell us what he has to say. It wasn't exactly what God had in mind. But it certainly gave us a beautiful picture. And so now God is teaching these people about himself, and he's teaching them what it means to be a kingdom of priests and that old thing. And he does it by examples in the nation. So you've got 12 tribes here. And he says, I'm taking you into the promised land. And when you get there, he says, we're going to divide the land up between the families of Israel. 12 tribes. We're going to divide them up, and the way we're going to divide it up is I'm giving you a map of the land of Israel and territorial boundaries. And he says, and by lot, you're going to cast the lots, and each one of you is going to get a portion of land. Every tribe gets a portion of land, and inside of that tribe, that portion of land that the whole tribe got, then they would divide it up by family groups. And they did that all by lot. Except one family, the family of Levi. Now you can imagine being, the head of the tribe of Levi and being told this. We're going to cast the lots here, but Levi, your family, all your family, you don't get a portion of this. The Lord said to Aaron, your priests will have no inheritance of land or share of property among the people of Israel. I am your inheritance. I, God spoke, I am your inheritance. See, the tribe of Levi was that priestly tribe. It's where the priest came from. It's where the high priest came from. It's where all of the workers around the tabernacle, their job was God. They represented God to the people. They did what God told them to do. They took care of this tabernacle, which was a huge symbol of what relationship and life with God was about. And the Levites, that was their inheritance. God gave a handful of cities to them, but basically they owned nothing. Their portion in this whole adventure was God. Now the people are beginning to get, what does it mean to be a priest? A priest is someone who, hears from God and gives his message to the world. And then a priest then also takes the world back to God and lives in that bridge-building land of representing God and representing people back and forth, this whole ministry of priesthood. Says it again in Deuteronomy, which is the second telling, reminding them before they got to the promised land again about this whole idea of priesthood And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, it says, this is why the Levites have no share or inheritance reserved for them among the other Israelite tribes. The Lord himself is their inheritance, as the Lord your God told me. Would you all just kind of say that with me, that underlined portion? The Lord himself is their inheritance. The priestly tribe has a unique place. God is their inheritance. God is their inheritance. Kingdom of priests. Israel stumbled at that. They actually failed at fulfilling this. God had a different Israel in mind, by the way. So then we come to the New Testament. We come to the cross. We come to God reaching out to people. And now all of a sudden, the message has changed. It's not that there's the message of priesthood has changed, but it's who now gets to participate in that priesthood. Who gets to partake of it? The Apostle Peter, in his letter, he's not just writing to Jews now. He's not just writing to the tribe of Aaron. He's not just writing to the tribe of Israel. Now he's writing to Christians. Christians all down through the ages. And he picks up on this language that God spoke to the people from that mountain. When God gave them identity and he said, this is why I delivered you from slavery. I've called you to myself and I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests. And so the Apostle Peter, in his letter, writes these words. But you are not like that, meaning you're not disobedient, you're not stumbling at the rock of offense. I'm just reading a little bit ahead here, but he says, but you're not like that, for you are a chosen people. Everybody say chosen people. Same words God spoke to Israel at the foot of that mountain. He now speaks to you and I. You are a chosen people. Let that sink in you for a moment. You might think that, well, I chose God, you know. I chose to be a God. Hey, he chose you first. He chose you. That's huge. That's huge when you think about it. It wasn't you standing like a beggar at the door, you know, knocking on the door saying, you know, I'd really like to come in and be part of your family. I'd really like to come in and be part of your plan for the world. You know, I've looked around and there's not much here, so I would really like, would you please accept me? It's not that at all. He has spoken to you and said, you, I've chosen you. That's huge. Kind of the difference between stuck with kids that you just bear, and even though you didn't plan them, but they kind of come out and you're going to adopt somebody, you know. You go and you choose to adopt a child. You know what I mean? What was it? Nicky Gumbel used to tell a story about this kid that was adopted and he was teased all the time. Said, yeah, you're just adopted. And finally the kid got burned up with it. He said, you know, look at man. He says, your parents got lumped with you. But my parents chose me. You get that? That's a whole different ball game. That's pretty powerful. My parents chose me. So you are a chosen people. And then he keeps using that language. You are royal priests. Royal priests. Royal, that's that kingly language in there. A kingdom of priests. You are royal priests. A holy nation. But not a nation that is in a geographical location. It's not like you have a piece of land that's a geography and you're a nation. You know, we think the nation of England and the nation of Germany and the United States, you know, geographical locations. But you are a nation. It's not dependent upon where you came from. In this room, we got lots of different genealogies here. Lots of different, you know, nationalities. But God calls us together and he makes us royal priests, one holy nation. And guess what? That nation isn't locked in by some geographical thing. Anywhere you go in the world where Christians are, that nation exists. It's there. One nation. We are one people, one nation. God, if we just act like it, we could transform this world. If we actually got that together. You are not like that. He says, you're a chosen people. You're royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. All of that language that he used for Israel at the base of that mountain, he now uses for us. Kingdom of priests. What is a priest? A priest talks to God on behalf of people. A priest talks to people on behalf of God. By the way, I'm going to go back to that Deuteronomy passage for just a moment. Because in that passage, it gives a really beautiful picture. I think it's in verse 8, though. It didn't show up. I didn't put it here. But at that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark. I'm back in Deuteronomy, but it's in verse 8. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the Lord's covenant to stand before the Lord as his ministers and pronounce blessings in his name. To stand before the Lord as his ministers. Let's just stop for a moment and think about that. What does the word minister mean, by the way? Who said that? Servant. The word minister means servant. Servant. Did you know that all the words that God chose for people in ministry have that at the root? They have that idea at the root? He could have chose words like, you know, kings or lords or masters or, you know, I mean, but all those words for ministers all have the idea of servant. We had in here, was it two Thursday nights ago in the Unity Week, during Unity Week, we had Second Baptist Church come in here, Second Baptist, and Keith Tarwater was here to he did a scripture reading on that night. Keith Tarwater was a policeman in our community. He's retired now. He's old, you know, but he's old. And you can tell him I said so. But he was one of the first people that I met when I came to Paso Robles. Actually, lived across the street from me. And Keith and I developed a little bit of relationship and that whole thing. But Keith, now he's part of Second Baptist Church, and he's a deacon. He's earned himself the right to be a deacon in the Second Baptist Church. They use those words there. Anybody know what the name deacon means, what the word deacon means? Do you? What? Yeah, literally it means a table waiter, a table servant. For him and that church, it was a position of honor. You have earned the place, but never forget that the names that God gave for people in ministry all have to do with the idea of servanthood. So the Lord himself, at that time, the tribe of Levi then will carry the ark of the Lord's covenant. They'll stand before the Lord as his ministers, as his servants. But I love this next phrase there in verse 8. It says, as the Lord is his ministers, to pronounce blessings in his name. To pronounce blessings in his name. Here's an idea of priesthood now. It paints that picture of priesthood and of what our role is in this world. When you accept Christ into your life, when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're brought in to become part of this nation of priests. And as you learn your role, will be part of that nation is that your role is to be in this world to pronounce blessings upon people. God's blessings upon people in His name. Everybody say, in His name. Of course, in the New Testament, we hear that Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name. And we kind of add that as kind of a little phrase that we tag on to the end of our prayers, in Jesus' name. But stop and think what that is, what that means. In His name. Carol and I went to a workshop this week on estate planning. You know, estate planning and that. You know, what are we going to do when we're gone? And who's going to? And we're going to have to choose an executor and that kind of thing. But just think of the executor. I mean, what their job is? Their job is to dispense of your stuff, whatever it might be, in your name. I mean, in other words, they're not doing their own will. They're not going, oh, gee. And they're supposed to follow the will of the person who has called them to be the executor, right? And they're supposed to dispense it according to the executor's orders. So basically what they're doing is they are giving blessings in the name of whoever asked them to do it. That's what that means. You will pronounce blessings in my name. Meaning, I've told you how to do this. This is my will, and now you are my servant to bring that about. So the Apostle Peter ties all this together now around us and says that we are God's priests now in this world. We're a nation of priests. We're a kingdom of priests. We have a king together. And our role here in this world is to represent God to the people wherever we are. What a beautiful example that was of my daughter up here when she said she had the dream. You know, that's a beautiful picture of ministering in Jesus' name. And she had a dream. God showed her what she was supposed to do. And then the next day she sees what she's supposed to do. And she has a choice to get involved in it or not. To be that instrument of blessing. To be that bridge between God and that man. To bring him to God. Kingdom of priests. Here's something else here for you to think about. You know, what about that whole tribe of Aaron? You know, I mean, that tribe, that Levitical tribe, which didn't get an inheritance, and then God spoke. He said, "I am your inheritance." What a picture! And what kind of a picture does that have to do with us? Well, in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for his people. He's praying for us. And he says these words, verse 13, I'm going to read a little before this, but he says, "Now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world." I'm going to tell you something. It's not easy to swallow, but it's really our plight. The longer you're in Christ, if you're really in Christ, and the more you allow Him to form you, the more alienated and foreign you're going to feel in this world. Nobody that I want to win an election ever wins. Because I don't represent much of what the world thinks and the way the world around thinks. You're going to have to accept that. I mean, you can fight, you can squander, you can pick a candidate out now. I'm going to fight for them. They're going to be the best deal. But when it comes down to it, if you're really in Christ, you know, to get the majority of people to go that way is going to be a real challenge. Because we think differently. We have different values. And the longer you're in Christ, the more alien you're going to feel. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. The servant is not greater than his master. So if he's our master and they didn't like him, how are they going to feel about us and our values and our choices? So in verse, I've given them your word. The world hates them because they don't belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Just keep them safe from the evil one. And then he says it again. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Listen, the tribe of Levi, you won't get an inheritance. I'm your inheritance. You won't get a portion of the land. I'm your portion. The book of Hebrews paints this picture of all the men and women by faith who were great heroes of the faith. And it says to them there was, it says that there was no place that they could call home because they had their eyes fixed on a better country. A different place. And so God calls us to Himself and He says, you're going to be a kingdom of priests, but you aren't going to have a geography in this world. It's not like it's going to be in Italy or here or there. You know, it's going to be it's going to be all around, and wherever people are in me, they're part of that nation. Don't get too comfortable here and don't make yourself at home, because this is not your home. And your whole life is going to be about being that bridge builder. Wherever you go, just think about it. You're a priest. And it's not just in church. When you go grocery shopping, you should stop and remind yourself before you walk in there, I'm part of the priesthood of God. I'm a priest. There may be somebody in there that just needs that bridge. They need a word of blessing in His name spoken to them. They need to be, you know, they need to be touched by God, and you are that priest. Or on the other hand, they may be in such need that you are there to come alongside of them and lift them to God. I had Jesse, you know, in the earlier service, and I said, you know, every time you walk into a patient's room, just remind yourself, Jesse, that you're a priest. But we didn't have to go into that. Those are great areas that we can see. Well, that makes sense to me. But you are a dance instructor. But God has more for you than just teaching kids how to dance. You're a priest of God. And when people walk into your place of business there, I mean, it's like you're a bridge between them and God. And you may encounter some people with just some needs, you know, that you may, can I lift you to God? Can I speak to God for you? Can I bring God's blessing upon you? See, that's it, a kingdom of priests. Wes and Laura in your business. Just think about all the interactions, and it doesn't have to be with just work, it's just play, it could be neighborhood. When I walk into the bowling alley, you know, one of the things I have to say to myself when I'm walking in there, I am a priest of God. It's not just about the things we do. And for some people, you might be as close to God as they've ever come. You know, and I was over watching a video that you guys put together for the preschool. And in our time, guys, fewer and fewer kids are hearing the name of God. More and more of them are growing up. I mean, you teach at the high school level. They have no clue about God. Because that our culture has pushed this away. And now more than ever, we need to understand what our role is. In business, in education, wherever we are priests of God, a nation of priests. And our portion in this life is not our bank accounts. It's not our property. Portion in this life is God. And guess what? When you get that straight, nothing will threaten you. Stock market crashes, your portion is in God. You get it? Terrible things happen in our culture. A fire happens in your house. There was a fire in our neighborhood the other day. But your portion is God. Nobody can take that away from you. How secure can you be? And when in this world they talk about self-esteem and, you know, wanting to mean something and have value, gosh, how much greater can you get than being, I'm a priest of God, chosen by Him, chosen by God to be His representative in this world. That's what my life is about. I love that, Jesus. They're not part of this world any more than I am. So, you know, I love the Psalms. And I want to close with this because this is a beautiful prayer. It's going to lead us into closing our service here. But Psalm 16 says this. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to You for refuge. I said to the Lord, You are my master. Every good thing comes from You. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. I like that. Who's your heroes? The godly people in the land, He says, are my heroes. He says, troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. Don't we know that? Aren't we seeing that today in our world? I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their ghosts. Then He says these incredible words, Lord, You alone are my inheritance. My cup of blessing. You alone are my inheritance. David's not a Levite. David, who's writing this, he's not a Levite. But he's adapting that language now into his own life. You're my inheritance. My cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. And then he finishes verse 6 with this, the land You have given me is a pleasant land. The land You have given me. He's not talking about some geographical location. He's not talking about a piece of property now. The land You have given me, my inheritance, my call, all that I am in You, and the place that I'm going, that's a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance, he said. Kingdom of priests. You and I are a kingdom of priests. That's not just church language, guys. It's language for us to take out of this room and remember, wherever we go, we're a kingdom of priests. And remind yourselves of the great high calling that God has upon you. He's called you. He chose you to be His priests. Lord, we come to You and we thank You for the great gift that You have given, Your gift of grace. But we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. But You chose us. You chose us. You looked into this broken world and You saw me and You saw my wife and You saw Calvin and You saw Gary and You saw Terry and You saw, you know, Alex, and you saw us, Lord, and You said, You, I'm choosing You. And somehow, out of some miracle, we responded and we said, yes, I will follow. So, Lord, we're grateful. We come to this meal to be reminded once again and to receive strength from You to be what You've called us to be. Lord, You are our portion. In Jesus' name.